Good morning, everyone. We've been chatting before we got started, just praising the Lord for his goodness and all the incredible things that he's doing around the world and in and through us, and how important it is that we're obedient and we listen to his call on our life, and how he cares about us in every aspect. You know, he brings clarity, and I just love that. This past weekend, I had the most incredible experience ministering at a women's conference, and I've never worked with an interpreter before, and it was wonderful. I had just agreed to doing this women's conference. They wanted to do something bilingual, so I said, you know, if the Lord's calling me there, I'm going to do it, and it was, the presence of God was so amazing. He stretched, and he grew me in the process of the presentation. But it touched so many hearts and lives, and there was so much healing that took place. We had every woman in the entire auditorium come forward for prayer for healing, and some of it was physical, some of it was emotional, but I just want to give God the glory for working in and through us, and I want to encourage each one of you to stretch a little bit and be obedient. If God says to do something, trust him, because he's going to place you in the exact place you need to be, and he's going to provide everything. Absolutely everything that you need to provide that. Today we're going to talk a little bit about what would Jesus do in your business, because I think that's so important. I think sometimes we forget that. I know many of us take God as our business partners every single morning. We ask him what he would want us to do in business and things like that, but I think that we sometimes forget what Jesus may do in our business. You know, one thing that I get frequently asked of me is, you know, how do you share and integrate your faith into your business? And, you know, how do you do that effectively? I want to do that in my business, and I'm not really sure how to do that. I'm going to just encourage you today with some words, and then also a word from the Lord. So when you're asked, how are you sharing your gospel in your business, I want you to think about, what do you really do? What does your business really look like? Many people say, well, I can't share the gospel on the job, or I can't share it in my business, or my business isn't a Christian company, so how do I really do this? And many argue that you have to actively be sharing your faith by either witnessing or praying or laying hands on people or giving a sermon in order to have it be construed as a ministry. And I want you to know that that's absolutely not true. Work itself is actually a ministry, and God encouraged us to work. If we go back to the Greek root word, diakonia, that is the same word as service or ministry. So whatever we're doing in our businesses or in the secular world with our jobs, we need to do it with the motive to glorify God. As a little girl, one of my favorite verses was, and the word was, to do everything as unto the Lord and not as unto men. So I wanted to do everything that I could to serve with excellence, and I hope that you feel the same way. The Bible says also that you'll receive an inheritance when you treat your work or your business or what he's called you to do with excellence. So to me, that's pretty exciting that we have that promise from him. I want you to think about the New Testament. Do you know that Jesus had 132 public appearances in his ministry? 122 of them were in the marketplace. Almost all of them were in the marketplace. Of the 52 parables that Jesus told, 45 had a workplace context. Of the 40 miracles in the book of Acts, 39 were in the marketplace. So it, to me, that proves, because that's where the first church was being born and birthed, that we are to continue this work in the marketplace. Jesus spent his adult life as a carpenter until he was 30, before he went on into a preaching ministry in the workplace. And 54% of Jesus' reported teaching ministry arose out of an issue posed by others in the scope of everyday life. It wasn't that he just all of a sudden decided he wanted to be super spiritual and he was just going to talk only about God. He always was bringing in the context of work. He was always bringing in the context of just regular living with regular people. Work in its different forms is mentioned more than 800 times in the Bible, more than all the words used to express worship, music, praise, and singing combined. God created work, and he's a worker. John 5:17 says, my Father is always at his work in this very day, and I, too, am working on your behalf. So the next time you're tempted to minimize your daily work as anything less than your holy calling and your destiny and your ministry, I want you to remember that Jesus ministered in the workplace as a carpenter in his community first, and then he also went forward and he stayed within the workplace and the marketplace. So he's called you, and he wants you to reflect his glory in everything that we do, especially our lives and businesses. I want you to think about it for just a minute. What would happen if all of a sudden you had somebody want to join your team or come alongside you in business or say, you know, I want to be able to work with you. And so you hired them, you recruited them, you brought them into the business. And let's pretend that he really was Jesus. What would he do in your place, or what would he do on your team? What if Jesus just decided to take 1 year in your business or in your workplace? Can you imagine the difference that could be made? Let's consider some hypothetical things that he might do. Well, we know that he would do his work with excellence. Can we say the same about ourselves? He would be known for the great work that he did, according to Exodus 31:2. He'd develop new ideas for doing things better, according to Ephesians 3:20, right? He would hang out with everyone in order to develop a relationship with them so that he could speak to them about the Father. Matthew 9:12. Do you spend time getting to know each person at each gathering or get-together? Do you know each person intimately in your workplace? And I'm not saying you have to be up in all their business all the time, but do you know enough about them so that you could actually talk to them about, talk to the Father about them, so that you could actually pray for them, so that you knew if there were concerns in their life? He would also strategically pray for each worker, team member, and leader about their concerns and their needs. He'd pray for those, even the people that didn't like him, because that's important, Matthew 5:44. He'd also rally the office to support a needy family during tough times or even the holidays. He'd offer to pray for those who were sick in the office and see them get healed, Matthew 14:14. He would honor the company and his upline and respect them, Titus 2:9 and Romans 13:1. And he would be truthful in all his dealings and never exaggerate or hurt another person for the sake of advancement, Psalm 15:2. He'd be concerned about his city and his community. He'd probably even put together initiatives to do outreach, according to Luke 19:41. And he would always have a motive to help others be more successful, even at his own expense. Proverbs 16:2. I want you to think about your life, your business. Can you say that you do these things? How I discovered my ministry and the call on my life was truly one day the Lord impressed on my heart to offer to pray for my hosts and dedicate a day of prayer for them. If I was going to have a meeting with them, or I was going to have a party with them or a get-together, I would dedicate that day. But I would call them, and I would get to know them first off when they first scheduled their show. And then any time I did host coaching or connection calls or times together between the time of meeting them and the time of our appointment, I would ask them different aspects about their life or their business or what they were doing. And I'd pray specifically with them. I'd pray with them at the moment if they were open to it. If they said they weren't comfortable with that, I would pray for them in between. I can't tell you how many salvations. 1 year we had 289 salvations as a result of that one activity. How incredible. People want to be touched by the Lord. And you're his vehicle. Let him work in and through you. Even if it's nothing more than to say, do you mind if I pray with you? But ask yourself, would you be doing these things? Are you working your business with excellence, setting that good example so people would say, hey, I want to know more about that. I want to work with her. I want to work with him because they serve with excellence. Do you develop new ideas for doing things better? Now, I don't believe in fixing anything that's not broken. But if the Lord is encouraging you or giving you supernatural wisdom on how to enhance something, use the proven system and then go before the Lord and ask him, how would you like me to handle this? How would you like it to be different? He would hang out with everyone in order to develop a relationship. In today's society, we think that because we're friends on Facebook or we tweet each other, that we're friends. We need to be in deep relationship. The others are nothing more than stalking each other unless we're in relationship. He would also strategically pray for each team member, each worker, and each leader. Are you doing that? One of the things I'm going to encourage you to do is if you are a leader of a team, I'm going to encourage you in any respect, or even if you're a member of a team, I want you to print out pictures of the people that are on your team. Place them in a visible place that you will look at every day. So maybe it's by your computer screen. Maybe you've got a board that you keep in your office. Maybe you can just tape them to the mirror in your bathroom. But so that you are intentionally praying for each person specifically, you will be surprised at the miracles that you will see instead of just doing something big and blanketed. Think about a family that's in need, that's in your intimate circle, on your team, or even in your community. How are you showing the love of Christ in a tangible way to them? And I love this part because I love praying healing and I love seeing miracles. But why do we just say, oh, so-and-so's sick. Oh, bless their heart. I hope they feel better. Oh, that's so sad. So-and-so can't make their show. So-and-so can't come into the office. Instead of just taking the authority and the power that we've been given as believers and pray healing over those people. Can you imagine if you saw somebody come into a show and they were feeling sniffly and not feeling very well, and at the end of the get-together, after you do the full-service checkout, asking if you could pray for them, pray healing over their body, and they would receive an instant miracle? How exciting would that be for them? Would they not want to know more about your Jesus and your Lord, and would they not want to know more about what it is that you're tapped into and what you're doing and how you're ministering in the marketplace? I'm not saying that everything has to be done completely around ministry, because I'm sure there were many a times that Jesus was just hammering nails and cutting wood, and he wasn't laying hands on people and praying for them. It actually said that he didn't start his ministry until after he was a very established carpenter. But I'm sure he was always being faithful to the Lord and what he was doing. Another area that I want to talk to you about, because this happens so frequently, is we do whatever it takes to promote. And sometimes that's at the expense of a relationship or at the expense of another, or even at the expense of exaggerating. I want to encourage you, because God has got great and amazing things that he wants to do in and through you. We know that according to Ephesians 3:20 and Jeremiah 29:11. As I was preparing for our message this morning and our little study time, the Lord gave to me a thought about fruit. I couldn't get fruit out of my mind. I don't know. I didn't know if I was hungry or what it was. And I realized it was just the Lord talking to me about the fruit of the Spirit and how do we minister that in the marketplace. And let me just share with you, because we know the fruit of the Spirit would be the fruit that other people would see around us from our actions, how we live our life and how we do our business. We've talked a little bit already about what Jesus would do if he were an employee in our business. And let's take it a step further. The fruit of the Spirit is found in Galatians 5:22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. So there's no constraints around any of these areas. So I want to encourage you today to look at these different aspects. You know, think about this. When we plant a watermelon seed, we know we're going to be getting watermelons, and sometimes we get more than one watermelon on the vine. When we plant corn, we know we're going to get corn, and it's going to have a great big stalk, and then we're going to have several ears on the stalk. When we plant apples and we plant just an apple seed, we can grow an apple tree with many, many apples on there. But we know that whatever we sow into the ground, that's the seed, we're going to be reaping a harvest of that eventually, right? And these are the seeds that we need to be growing, because it tells us in the Word we need to be bearing this fruit. This is the outward representation, the visible behavior. We need to embrace this. Embrace the inward qualities so that we can produce the fruit outwardly. Think about this. The first is love. Are you motivated by love for people in your business? What about that host that's not quite pleasant? Or you're not sure if she's going to be able to be influential enough to get a gathering together? Or what about that consultant or leader that just drives you crazy and gets under your skin? Are we doing everything by love for people? What about joy? Do we exhibit an unshakable joy regardless of the circumstances around us in life or in business? Remember, there's always someone watching. You are always ministering, whether we realize it or not. What about peace? Do others see your inward peace and take courage and know that even in tough circumstances, tough situations, in the unknown, that you're a believer, that they can have hope, they can have courage? What about long-suffering? Boy, I don't like that one. I don't know why that one's in there. But do you wait patiently for results as you develop people and goals, as you work through activities? Do you have that stick-to-itness where you're not going to quit or give up and people can see that you finish the race and you finish it strong and you finish it with exemplary character? Do you decide that you're going to work this business and you're going to take it to the end and not get distracted by maybe another business opportunity or maybe another person saying, oh, if you only did it this way? What about kindness? Are you caring and understanding towards everyone that you meet? Are you happy to see each guest as they walk in the door? Are you happy to see each team member as they come to a team meeting or each prospect? The next fruit of the Spirit is goodness. Do you want the best for others as well as the organization? Are you selfless? Where you want them, even if it would mean that they would promote ahead of you or before you, do you want the very best for them? What about faithfulness? Have you kept your commitments to the mission? The mission of the business of the workplace, as well as the business of the kingdom. I don't think they can be separated. What about gentleness? Is your strength under control? What a nice way to put that, right? Some of us can be very strong, and we run over people in the process. Can you be tough and tender at the same time? Can you accomplish what needs to take place, but be tender and kind, exhibiting gentleness? And what about self-control? Are you disciplined to make progress towards your goal each and every day? Do you work from to-do lists? Do you have a goal? Do you have a business plan? Do you know the area of business that you need to move forward in? And can you keep the focus? I was also reading the book of Philippians, and the Lord just kept talking to me over and over about how single-focused Paul was. And that's why he was so successful. He listened to what the Holy Spirit said, and he kept a single focus. Well, I hope that you were blessed today and that you've got a better picture of what Jesus would do in your business. And if the Lord's whispered something to your heart, maybe something that you need to release or maybe something you need to ask forgiveness of, I hope that you take just a moment and you do that, because God wants to do amazing things in and through your life and business. And this may be the first step, because sometimes we have to clean up a little bit before we can build something in its place. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer right now. Father God, we love you, and we thank you that you have given us examples of how we can live our lives as well as what we can do with our businesses. Lord, help us to be faithful and plant the seeds of the fruit of the Spirit, not only in our businesses but in our lives. Lord, I thank you for the encouragement that you give us by the examples. And I love the thought of having you be an employee in our business and looking at what that model might look like for us. Lord, we ask forgiveness. We repent. We turn away from the distractions, from the sin in our life, or from the areas where we may not have been that best example for you or done business the way that you would have had us do it. Lord, I pray that you will bring a new sense of excellence, honesty, tenacity, perseverance, compassion, gentleness, joy, peace, and even some long-suffering, Lord, as we move forward in serving you, building your kingdom, and being ministers in the marketplace. Lord, I also ask that you would be with Amy. You know that right now she's having issues with pain in her shoulder. We ask now in the name of Jesus that her shoulder be healed. Her shoulder be healed, the tendons, her muscles, the rotary cuff come into place and stay into place according to how the Lord has created the body to function. We speak to her cells now in Jesus' name that it is healed. Lord, she wanted to go for tests. They've actually called her for tests to find out what's wrong, but she's asked for prayer today, and we are believing and joining our faith together that she's healed. And as she goes for tests, that the MRI would come back, that she is completely healed, so we can give you the glory for the healing, Lord. We praise you, and we thank you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for the familiar voices on the phone and the friendships and the relationships. Lord, I pray that you will help us to foster relationships, that you would help us to be more diligent in that respect. Lord, give us the reminders and the ability to keep in the forefront of our mind how to pray and lift our brothers and sisters up to you, not only as ministers in the marketplace, Lord, but also as individuals, as family members, as your children. And Father God, I ask that you would give Kimberly and Phyllis direction, Lord, that you would help them not only to be able to empower others, but help them to walk into the empowerment that you've created them for in themselves, in their families. Lord, I pray that you would help them not to have division, a split vision, but Lord, that they would be just like Paul, and they would have that single focus, keeping their focus on the Most High call that you've placed on their life. Lord, I pray that you'll give them clarity. Lord, we thank you for the personal development that started with them, Lord. But I pray that you'll help them to release the guilt and the pressure, that they would feel confident that they're hearing from you, that they would not allow distraction or confusion from the enemy to clutter their thoughts or their minds. We rebuke you in Jesus' name, confusion and distraction. Division. We call forth the Spirit of God, that he tells us, Holy Spirit tells us that his name is wisdom. So we ask now in Jesus' name that they do have the mind of Christ, that they confess it over their body, and wisdom that you speak supernaturally to them. Lord, we just also pray that you will be with Sean's new business and his ministry, Lord. How exciting, you know, that you speak to us. He heard your voice very clearly, and he was obedient. Lord, I pray that you will bless him abundantly, more than he could ever ask, think, dream, or imagine. Thank you for the faithfulness that he's exhibiting in taking this message around the world, and he's blessing your babies in the process. Lord, I pray that you will speak to others to be a part of this movement, that they would be able to enjoy, number one, the better health and fitness that would take place, but number two, the giving to your babies, your children, your orphans, those children that are at high risk. And Lord, that the gospel would be ministered and they would be your children, that they would never walk away from you. Lord, I thank you for the work you're doing in their lives, even now, and preparing them. Lord, I pray a hedge of protection around Sean and his ministry, Lord, that you would guard and protect him, that you would keep him on the path, that you tell us that you will walk behind us in Isaiah, and you would tell us to turn to the right or to the left, Lord. And so I pray that you will help him to constantly hear your voice and direction. Lord, we praise you for his faithfulness. Lord, I thank you for the ability to minister today. Lord, I thank you for the ability that you were speaking through my mouth of clay, and it was not anything of my flesh. Lord, I do pray healing and restoration over those that are listening, Lord, whether it's in their life, it's in their health, in their physical bodies, if it's in their emotions, if it's in their business. Lord, we call forth healing in Jesus' name because you know how to meet every single need. And you're just waiting for us to ask, because you tell us in your word that anything we ask in your name, Jesus, you will give us. So we thank you. And Lord, we know we don't have to keep coming and begging after you, that you wouldn't give us a stone if we asked for bread. Lord, we ask that you would fill us up with your love, your mercy, your grace, your wisdom, your knowledge, and that we would just agree and praise you and thank you. Every time one of these things are brought up to our attention or come into our head or heart, we know that we don't have to keep begging after you, that you've already done it. We've received it now by faith in Jesus' name. And we want to praise you and we want to thank you. We want to glorify you in all that we say and all that we do. We love you. We praise you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.